Hello, group leaders, Pastor Kevin and Rothen Bedford with us today for podcast number 40, believe it or not. Rothen is a fellow staff member here at Grace, been here a long time, but I'll let Rothen tell you all who he is and what he does here.
Yeah, I've been at Grace now, I think it's 11 years this January, technically, which is crazy to think about. I started out in our 678 ministry 11 years ago, and throughout the time I've been on staff, my role has kind of changed a little bit. I get to oversee kind of all of students at Pickerington. I get to speak into some student things at large at some of the other campuses, and with that, kind of get to speak into a lot of how Grace impacts the next generation.
Yeah, that's awesome. And more recently, you jumped on the elder board.
That's true. That did just happen.
I wonder if they're looking for a younger voice, maybe pump some new life into the team.
They wanted to bring the average age down just a little, I guess.
And raise the knowledge base maybe too. Anyways, Rothen, today we're going to talk about finding the next leader from within the ministry or within a group. So as you have done this over the years, you lead a Grace group, among other things as well. And, you know, you've raised up leaders out of the ministry and out of group life. So when you're thinking about the next leader, what is it you're looking for?
I really want to see someone who has ownership of the thing that they're in. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, if you have a couple in your Grace group who's going, hey, you know, I was thinking, what if we helped serve a Thanksgiving dinner, you know, at a place in downtown Columbus? Or, hey, you know, I was wondering, what would it look like if we, and you start to see that they have thoughts that go beyond just how the conversation's going, what we should have for snack. But you start to see that they care enough about the group and they have this ownership of what the group can do. When I start to see that in a person, I go, okay, there's something there.
Yeah, for sure. And on top of their attendance is consistent.
Oh, for sure. Yes.
They're doing whatever homework they're supposed to be doing.
Their answers show that they understand the Bible in a way that they could lead it or teach it. All of those are some of the foundational, you know, their marriage is healthy if they're married. Like, so there are some, you know, foundational pieces that really need to be true. But beyond that, yeah, there are some other behaviors. There are other things that you can start to see in different people that go, oh, they have a path towards being a group leader.
Yeah. So let's say you figure out there is a person or a couple in your group that you see that in. What's the next step?
I have found that if you say, especially to a couple who's you've never done this before, or even a couple who maybe, you know, maybe they're new to really taking their faith seriously for the last couple of years. If you say, hey, I see you guys being a leader, would you want to help us lead? That can actually intimidate them a little bit.
For sure.
So it's almost better to go, hey, at the end of groups now, do you guys want to take care of the prayer request? What if you guys took care of this? Or you go, hey, why don't you guys take care of the snack rotation? Or sometimes you'll go, hey, I'm going to be out this week, or I got a really busy week. Would you mind taking, you know, lead in the conversation? And I can help you. And sometimes what you have to do is put them in those places where maybe they're not leading everything, but they're leading parts of it.
Yeah.
And then when you get to have the conversation, you can go, dude, you've done it.
Yeah.
Or maybe when they start to do it, maybe they even have that conversation with you and they go, man, this is great. Or, I really enjoy this. But you give them opportunities that actually don't feel like it's a tryout. You know, it doesn't feel like they're on trial for anything or being tested.
Yeah. And then what kind of coaching goes along with that throughout those times where they do take some swings and you watch them? And then I assume you have a conversation at some point.
Yeah, and I try really hard whenever you can help someone even learn from your own mistakes or your own failures. It kind of starts that conversation out a little bit easier. But yeah, there are going to be times where there's bumps along the way of them kind of stepping into that leadership. Or sometimes times where they did a great job and you shouldn't let that go by either, where you go, hey, that was incredible. Keep doing that.
Yeah.
Or you give
you've said this many times. What gets celebrated gets repeated, right? So as you encourage them, you give them some kudos. Man, you guys just did a great job the other night. I'm so happy about that. How about you lead in 3 weeks again or something like that?
And I have found if I'm going to give a piece of, you know, constructive feedback and say, hey, this maybe didn't go how you planned it, or this maybe didn't land the way you wanted it to, trying to go that extra step and go, I think you were trying to accomplish this.
Mm-hmm.
And that's actually a really good thought.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think this got us there, but what else could have? So sometimes even just beyond the behavior, beyond the actual thing they did, get to the heart of maybe why they did it.
Yeah.
And then help them see other ways that they could, you know, go about that.
Sure. So what if, you know, you say something like that to a person or a couple and they just say, no, we're just not interested.
Yeah, and I think there's, we probably have a ton of couples who are really capable,
mm-hmm.
high-level leaders who are fine not leading.
Mm.
And so sometimes you have to actually pull out the couple and say, you need to have the whole I see in you conversation.
Yeah, or the kingdom
yes.
needs you to use all of your gifts here.
And it's not just you could. You know, because maybe because we've had meetings, you know that you could. You need to.
Mm-hmm.
And you opening up a group opens up space for however many more people and mm-hmm. couples. And
mm-hmm.
And so sometimes they have to have, you have to have a bigger conversation than just their ability. But you're right, a kingdom-centered conversation mm-hmm. for why they might be actually taking away from some of what God wants to do through the group's ministry at our church by not stepping into
sure.
that next role.
I'm convinced that there are dozens mm-hmm. of people like that, whether they've grown up here at Grace or they come from another place, because we get a bunch of that, right?
For sure.
They've led in other places, but they're just in a space in their life where they're, you know, they got kids in travel ball or band or theater or whatever it is, and they just don't want to take the time. But we need that. The mm-hmm. kingdom needs that. So what else advice would you give to a group leader as they're contemplating reaching out to the next leader?
Yeah, everyone leads differently. And I know it's easy for me to see different leaders who have similar leadership bends that I have mm-hmm. and go, wow, you know, you know, I can see myself in them, or,
mm-hmm.
You know, we're similar in this area. So they could be a good leader, or I could kind of coach that up in them. But I think, you know, there are a number of different personality types and leadership types, and you might find a person who you might butt up against in group a little bit and realize that's actually a form of leadership maybe that they're bringing to the table that maybe conflicts a little bit with mm-hmm. yours, or isn't really running parallel to yours,
mm-hmm.
but might be something that can be coached and used, and they could still be a great leader. Mm-hmm. I have found that sometimes some of my volunteers who, you know, bring a lot of feedback that if I'm not careful, you can go, man, they're complaining, or they're always yes. negative. And I go, no. They think about things in a critical way. They care deeply. They want change to come. And more times than not, they're willing to be a part of the change. And they're just a different type of leader. And
yeah.
so I think you have to kind of broaden your idea of
yeah.
a typical Grace group leader behavior or bent.
Yeah, because I think a lot of times we think of the prototypical Grace group leader or Bible study leader mm-hmm. is they're sticky. I mean, they have a personality people want to be around. They're vocal, they're extroverted, but not everyone's built that way.
Exactly.
But yet they have great skills. You know, introverts can be leaders. People that aren't necessarily socially, maybe they're socially awkward in some kind of way, but yet they're incredibly intelligent. They know scripture.
Yeah.
And we need those people too.
In fact, having led groups for a long time, sometimes as you're in those group settings, you actually want the very extroverted people to talk less, because when yeah. those very yeah. introverted people share,
yeah.
it's rich and
yeah.
it's deep. And you're like, we need more of that. And
yeah.
you know this, when you're group leading well, you shouldn't be doing most of the talking.
100%. I think we actually, somewhere we used to tell group leaders, like, talk 20%
right.
of the time. Well, Rothen, thank you for your time. We probably could talk for the next hour or so on group leadership. But those are great things. So group leaders, I pray you've heard something out of this podcast that you want to take to your group. And what I would say is, next week, as you're sitting in group again, just take a hard look around the room
yeah.
and see who's sitting there, and just give them, each couple or each person, some thought as to whether they might jump on the team or at least take the next step. So Thank you all. We'll see you next week.